One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
One of the texts that would not be used very much in this undisciplined day, and I've just about come to the conclusion that about the only thing is to live in a Christian life is discipline. You say what you please. When a man, now I'm not talking about disciplinary salvation or regeneration. That's not so. I believe in that by grace. But I tell you, the minute you get saved, you're to be disciplined. I mean, you're to be disciplined. Don't ever get tired of the word discipline, because if you do, Jesus said, if any man would be my disciplined or disciple, that's what he's talking about. And you'll never follow Christ without being a disciple or a disciplined person. You never will. To follow him, he said, I want you to go to disciple, disciple, disciple. You know what that means? That means discipline them. And so we must never tire. I do not believe in legal discipline in the sense that it's going to get the world right. And I do not believe that the penitentiary has the answer. Neither does the psycho ward or the hospital room or the lockup place. That's not the answer. Now, that might be necessary, and I think it is. And some people are a lot better in jail than are in jail. I believe I'd volunteer to go to jail and stay there the rest of my life if I was a drunkard and couldn't get victory over my liquor. I believe I'd say, listen, sir, will you be kind enough to put me in a cell and just lock the door and throw the key plumb away and then kind of slip me something through the bar that'll hold body and soul together until I die? Because if I can't have victory over liquor and dope, and that includes all the rest of filth and the sins, just let me be locked up away from it. Now, I'm glad that God's got another plan, another policy. He can turn you loose right in the middle of it and you won't touch a bit of it. Amen? Oh, one of my friends, this is real funny, girl, see? A lot of people think smoking's funny, you know. They think it's smart. And this friend of mine is dying this morning. They called me and said, Brother Olaf, come as quick as you can. And he's dying. Cigarette cancer. Doctors have given up. There's no way, see, unless God heals him. Young people, would you listen to me for just a minute? Do you believe it's fair and right to ask you and to ask, and I know this is going to be a kind of a strange question. Do you believe it's right to ask God to take off of you what you asked the devil to put on you? Now, you think that through a little bit. Now, I didn't say God wouldn't do it. Isn't he gracious? Isn't he gracious? Isn't it wonderful? But listen, let me ask you this. Why in the world would we ever want to go back to it if the devil put it on us and defeated us and then God took it off? Why would we ever want to go back that direction again? See, that's what I'm talking about. The Lord is so wonderful to forgive and forget and to bury our sins in the depths of the sea. But there's somebody here this morning that I can't help. You know who it is? The person that doesn't want help. Look at Galatians chapter 6. We begin at verse 7. I suppose of all the verses and texts and chapters I could ever preach on, this would be the most unwelcome. I know the hippies would hate it. I know all the undisciplined people would literally hate. I know anybody doesn't intend to live for God. And anybody that's sowing the wrong kind of seed, I'll guarantee you'll hate this harvest. But just remember this. This verse is still in the Bible. And it's still so. Got to preach on it. And here it is. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Nearly everybody's deceived. They're deceived about eating or drinking or about living or about... They're just deceived. Now, who's he talking to? He's not talking to lost people, because lost people are already deceived. Don't need me going out here and saying to a lost man, be careful now, you're going to be deceived. Oh, no, he's already deceived. I guarantee you, if anybody wasn't deceived, they'd be heading for heaven. Do you know that? Well, don't you think I'd live 1 second lost if I knew what I know now? You couldn't, listen, if you were to offer me $1 million, or make it $1 billion, just to make it more interesting, that'd be 1,000,000, wouldn't it? That'd be $1 million. No, man, that'd be 1 million. I mean, that'd be about $1 billion. Well, that's more than I can think of. Let's get off of that. But just suppose you offered me $1 billion and said, Brother Olaf, we'll build all the homes that you want. I said, what's the catch? What's the trick? Well, they said, we've got it fixed up with God. We just heard from heaven, and you've been wanting to build homes so bad and put everybody you can get in them and feel like you can help everybody, and I do if we get them under the gospel. I have no doubt about that. I mean, I haven't seen the man. If he's got any sense left at all, what we can't help, we get the gospel to him. I believe that. And here's the thing. If he's just got a half of mine, I believe we can use that and get the other half fixed up. Amen? I mean, Jesus is able to do it. And if I didn't believe, I'd quit today. And said, I said, what's the trick? Well, he said, the Lord said that he was just going to take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I said, wait a minute. Well, he said, no, not permanently now. Not permanently. He's just going to let you drive from where you are now to 429 Naples to have the noon meal with Ms. Roloff and Christopher and Ken, but you're going to be lost on the way. And we're going to give you $1 billion when you get to 429 Naples. I said, Bud, you can sink it, throw it, lose it, swallow it, choke it, bury it. I don't want it. You'd never get me to be lost that long. Not again. Praise God. I wouldn't even want to be out of touch with Jesus that long. If I was lost, be out of touch with him. I wouldn't want to be in the dark that long, would you? Besides, somebody would be sure to run over me before I got there, and I'd go to hell, and I sure don't want to go there. Amen? Ah, praise the Lord. I don't have any place to go except to heaven. I'm not interested in anything else in this world except going to heaven. I've already been to earth, and I don't like it. I really don't. I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. I never will get acclimated down here. The atmosphere don't suit me, and the sin don't suit me, and my body don't suit me. And I'm going home one of these days. And dear friend, you might as well put it down. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. Now, you can sit around here and chew on your nubbins if you want to. And you can eat all the devil's corn you want to. But you're going to choke on his cob and you're going to burn with his shucks. Oh, brother, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to reap exactly what you sow. That's what America's doing now. America sowed godly seed, and she's reaping her harvest. She kicked the Bible out of the school. She's reaping infidels now. We kicked the Bible out of the home. We've got a generation of rebels on our hands. I mean, they're killing their mamas and daddies, getting worse every year that rolls around, and the end is not yet. The Bible said before Jesus comes, and I want to talk with you about, I think, the A-R-K tonight, the ark. Whose was it? Who got in it? Whose ark was it? Noah's ark? Well, he built it, but whose ark was it? It really was God's ark, wasn't it? And because he used a man to build it. And everybody was safe that got in it. Wasn't any bailing crew. Wasn't any leak stoppers. They didn't have to get some of this, you know, stop it, if you please. It just didn't leak. It's God's ark, and God told them how to build it. And I think it's time for God's people to get in the ark and be content to stay in it. I don't think Noah sat around the ark and said to Ms. Noah, honey, wouldn't you like to be outside swimming in them waves? No. You think the boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, come and said, Dad, I wonder if you could open that window. I'd like to jump out there and ride one of them floating cows or something. No, I tell you, I imagine they came and said, Dad, isn't it marvelous to be in here? I just hear them bodies rolling up against the ark. We could have been out to ourselves if it hadn't been for old Dad. Amen? That old man disciplined, didn't he? Old brother Noah, he put the discipline to him. He told him, said, the flood's coming, the judgment's coming, sin's real and black. God's sick of it, and the end is here. And his sons believed it. Shem, Ham, and Japheth believed it, and they came in. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, would you like to be corrupted? He said, so do your flesh. Now then, I want to ask you one question. Who's he talking about now? Is he talking about the unsaved people? No, sir. He that sows to the flesh. He's talking to Christians. Did you know it's possible that after you become a Christian, for you to sow some of the wrong kind of seed? Now, it's not possible for a lost man to sow but one kind of seed, and that's flesh seed. But he's talking to Christians. This is to the Galatian church. This is to the people that have been saved. And so he said, now then, you've got your privilege. You've got your planter box. You got your planter box, and you can put flesh seed in it, or you can put spiritual seed in it. I won't tell you what you're going to reap. If you put flesh seed in it, you're going to reap corruption. Corruption. You know what that is? That's filth. That's liquor and dope and cigarettes and cursing and immorality and homosexuality. All of that's the flesh. You're going to reap your flesh seed. You're going to have a flesh harvest. You're going to be disappointed in it, and you're going to weep a many a tear because of it. But he said, when you put that kind of seed in the planter box, and it goes through the plate. Look out! He said, you're going to reap what you sow. We may not like it, but it's so. You sow selfishness, you're going to reap it. You sow disobedience, you're going to reap it. If you sow a Bible-less life, you'll reap Bible-less results. Nothing permanent, and all of it will be sorrow and heartache. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. All right, let's go a little further. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's a great harvest, isn't it? I've been flying over Kansas and Oklahoma, and I tell you, those old wheat fields, they're golden brown. I tell you, you never saw that old wheat is waving. A man said to me while I was up there, we were driving along, and he said, I'll never forget, Brother Olof. I think it's Don Demeter. Don Demeter. And he said, I'll never forget what you said. We looked and saw a great wheat field, acres and acres of it. And those old heads have bowed themselves now. That's right. And I remember gave an illustration one time. When you see a head of wheat that's standing tall, see, proud, I'm not bowing to anybody. That's no good. If she's got any seed in it, she'll bow her head. Yes, sir, she'll put her old head down. Said, I'm heavy-headed. Huh. That's right. I got a load and I can't hold it anymore. Come on, combine, get me. Come on and thrash me out and let some little hungry children have some bread. Amen. Brother, you show me a Christian when he begins to get ripe. I'll show you a man with a bowed head. I'll show you a man that'll fall on his face. We was praying the other day and I looked over and Granny was down on her face. I like that position. I just kind of like to get down where I can just come out, close out the work. God's people ought to be a humble people. We ought to be ashamed that we're so proud. And let me tell you something. I'm going to warn you. The new building, if it makes anybody proud, I just trust the cyclone will get it. Just when he catches us all out of it. We don't need a new building. I'd rather be in these old mobile homes. I'd rather be in these old tin things. And when the breeze blows, it shakes our home. I'd rather be in there with God and with the right spirit than to be in that magnificent building with the wrong spirit. I warn you that the brick and the mortar and the solid carpet and the more bathrooms and the beautiful kitchen, and I'm so thankful to God for it, and I can hardly wait till all of us enjoy it, but I want you to know one thing. It won't add anything to our spiritual life unless we give God the glory. But he said, he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now then, this will be a good one for Papa and Granny. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. Why, he said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now then, I want to share with you the matter of sowing and reaping. Now, there's not a farmer in this country, but what would agree with me, on the fact that we're going to reap what we sow. That's, now, Jack Deal sowed some maize, I think, this year, didn't you, Jack? You expect to reap maize? Ready to start combining pretty soon, about another few days, you know. And, all right, now, when the farmer goes out and he drops some cotton seed, he expects to reap a harvest of cotton. That's what he... Now, young people, the question we got to decide today, what kind of seed are you sowing? Now, we're giving the right kind of seed if you put it in the planter box. You'd say, well, I won't know where the planter box is. It's your heart. It's your heart. You'd say, well, how am I going to get it in there? Right through your little mind. That's the reason we want you to memorize the chapters of the Scripture, you know. Like Psalm 67, God be merciful unto us and bless us.
And cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth. Thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God.
Let all the people praise thee.
O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him.
Amen. Amen. Now, that's God's word. Now, if you put those seed in your heart, you know that's good for Wall Street. You know what he said? Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And then he said, then shall the earth yield her increase, Did you get it? We'll have prosperity on the farm again. I'm still saying that God's driving the people back to the farm. We're going to either go back to the farm and back to the soil, or we're going to die. But oh, talk about responsibility. You better really walk close to Jesus. And boy, you better go out in that old corn patch and do something besides pick roasting ears. You better keep you a place where you can hide when everybody else is away and say, Lord, this is too much for me. I can't make it. And I have to do it myself every day and every night. Lord, how in the world am I going to make it through today? And he said, I'm going to make it for you. Now, you can't make it. You never did make anything but a mess. Amen? That's all y'all made did you come to Jesus. That's all old prodigal son said. He come up to his daddy when they said, okay, fork it over. He said, son, what do you mean? He said, give me the spondulix, you know. I mean, hand me what's coming to me. I'm leaving here, yeah? He said, son, what? He said, well, Dad, I can't get anywhere tied to my mama's apron strings. I want to leave. And he said, well, son, I'm just sorry that you feel that way. Has Daddy been good to you? Yeah, you've been good to me, but I can't stay here always. Has your mama been good? Yeah, sure, my mama's been good, but I got to leave. I got itching feet, and I got to travel. He said, all right, son, all right. His daddy went in the next day and got a hold of a real estate man and said, would you evaluate my farm for me? He said, yes, sir. He said, it's worth so much, and he said, all right. I just wanted to say, you going to sell it? He said, no, sir. I got to give my youngest son his part of the inheritance. Not willing to wait till I die and the funeral's all over. Read my will. He wants it now, and I'll have to give it to him. You better look out, son. You're in for some trouble. Little sister, you better watch out now because you're going to hub it. Again, you'll hit high center before you very far down that road. You won't have a wheel touching the ground. You wait. He gave it to him. The little old boy got his clothes on and, brother, went down the road singing, I've got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle. Oh, yeah, that's right, but they'll be sticking you before it's over with, buddy. Got your little rock and roll or your little folk songs, and I'm sick of the folk songs in the church houses today. When we got away from Amazing Grace, brother, we got into some grass that'll burn us up before we know it. And you girls, don't you ever go to a church that's going to have a bunch of little ditties like that. When they get away from Amazing Grace and must Jesus bear the cross alone, and when the girls quit dressing like ladies, get away from them. Learn some sense while you're here. And be true to Jesus. And watch that crowd because he'll get you in trouble. The prodigal son, you know where he wound up? That's right, in the hog pen. Right in the middle of the hog pen. Dirty, filthy, bunch of old hogs rooting around. He was hauling a bunch of old stuff to them. And then, you know what happened? He said, I'm going to arise and go to my father. And he came to his father. And he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm not fit to be your son. Make me. There it is. Make me. You know, I never had noticed this till just then. He said, make me a hired servant. In other words, I want to go back to work. I want to be a servant. I'm not asking to be a son. I'm not fit to be a son, but just let me be a servant. And listen, until you get this, until y'all get ready to be servants, you'll never be the kind of sons or daughters you ought to be. Oh, listen, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That's no chastening like the love chastening. Now, the prodigal son, he had to reap what he sowed. You say, what did he sow? He sowed flesh seed. He wound up in the hog pen. Go anywhere you want to go. Would you like to stop with Samson a minute? Samson came to his dad one day and said, all right, get her for me. He said, what? Well, he said, that girl I'm going with, boy, listen, she's plenty good to look at. Go get her for me. Well, he said, son, she's out of line. I mean, she's out of place. And he said, get her. She pleases me, and I don't care what she pleases you or not. Go get her. Look out, Samson. But look out, Samson. You may be the strongest man in the world now, but I'll guarantee you, your old muscles are going to fall fat and flabby one of these days, and helplessly they're going to hang by your side, and that bunch of Philistines are going to punch your eyeballs out, boy. Ah, get her for me. I want her, and I'm going to have her. You got that wicked outfit. You remember that old Delilah? I never saw as many Delilahs, I think, as we got in the world today. Better watch old Delilah. Oh, listen, she blinded him and got the source of his power and got him bound and punched his eyeballs out, hooked him up to the mill that belonged to the devil, and there he is grinding at the mill. Blood running down his face and dripping off of his chin. strongest man that ever lived. Reckon what happened to Samson? I tell you what happened to him. He's reaping what he sowed. You young people think you can play fast and loose in the world and sow your wild oats. You might as well get ready for your harvest. Get ready for your harvest. It's going to come. Only way I know how to check that filth up is just get it under the blood quick as you can. And if you're guilty of sin, and if you've been immoral and impure, the quicker you can get it under the blood, do it now! You're going to have to reap it. And here's the thing. Not only will you reap it, but other people are going to reap it. You look at the little babies that have to reap. And let me say this right now. Anybody that doesn't have a husband and the baby doesn't have a daddy, you don't have a lick of business in the world with a baby. Because the baby would be cheated. It'd never have a daddy. It'd be drugged through the world without help. And I recommend to any girl, if it happened to be my own daughter, anybody else's, that unless you have a husband that would love you and build a Christian home, don't subject the baby to that kind of persecution. Just remember that. Oh, listen. I believe it's God's will for every little baby to have a daddy and to have a mother. They desperately need that in this old world. Samson, you're reaping what you sowed, aren't you? Oh, I know he got at that old mill, you know, and his tongue was dry, and his old body was suffering, and his eyes were gone, and he couldn't see a thing, and his strength was gone. And he said, "Where Delilah? Where's my girlfriend? Where is she?" "Why, Samson, I can tell you where she is. She's up at the dance hall, celebrating your downfall. That's a great friend for you, isn't it? Let me tell you, girls, don't you pay a lick attention to these old boys that want to go with you and talk about how much they love you when they disrespect your character. They're a bunch of rats. I mean, they're poison, and they do not love you. That's lust, and that's not love." That's right. Little girl, she's here today, and she's precious. She really is. I think God sent her here. And she got in trouble with the boy, and she's having a hard time getting over it. And I warned her. And finally, she got her eyes open. And she had a date or two with another boy, maybe a number of them, and the boy seems very genteel and nice. And though he knew that she could not get the way she is again, he still kept his distance and respected and said, "Listen, I love you, and I'm interested in you, and no matter what happens, you go on to the home, and I'm going to the service, and when I come back, and if the Lord wants us to, we'll get married." And yet he never did touch her, never did try to take advantage. I kind of like that kind of guy. She said, "You reckon I could write him a letter?" I said, "I believe you could." I said, "More than likely, we'd let him write you too, if that's the kind of guy he is, because he's interested, see, not just in the flesh. He's interested in her welfare, and he might have a real case of love."
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.